Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
Hey, we in this Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk, let me talk a little bit about the Palm message, Palm Sunday, what happened on that Sunday, on that day where Jesus comes in. They're throwing palm branches on the ground. And also want to continue a little bit in this idea where we've been with peace. Let's put a bow on this idea of peace, because so many of us are still looking for peace. We're hungry for peace. We desire peace. We want peace. We need peace. We're doing everything we can to find some peace. We're looking for peace in work. We're looking for peace in politics. We're looking for peace from finances. We're hoping for peace from, man, so many different ways we're looking for peace. We're trying to drink our way to peace, smoke our way to peace, take a gummy to get some peace. We're fighting for peace. You think, I could get some peace if I could just get a better job, if I could just get a little bit of money, if I could just get that boat, if I just had a nicer car, if I just, it's my wife. I need a different wife. She's really who's stressing me out. So I need some better friends. We're all looking for peace. We're all hoping for it. We're going, who can solve my problems? Who can help me the most? Who could? And we're stuck in this spinning cycle of, we get a little bit and we lose it. We get a little bit of it, we lose it. We get a little bit and we lose it. Now, it's a little bit of peace and then it's gone. Or worse yet, you're just thinking peace is waiting for you on Friday night. You work all week to get a little peace. You work all month to get a little vacation. That's not a good life. That's not the life Jesus died on a cross for you to go, man, I hope they really love that Monday grind. Work all week for a little rest on the weekend. Work all week for a little getaway at the night. Work all year to get a vacation or two. And then we just think that all that. No, that's not the peace that God came offering. Jesus said, my peace I give. You think all he was offering was a good, easy, relaxing Friday night and then the rest of your life sucks? He had more peace for us. He has more hope for us. And so maybe we're shooting for peace, but we're chasing it the wrong way. We're trying to achieve it the wrong way. We're trying to get what he's offering, but we're trying to get it in the wrong area. Can I say it like this? You can't get things of heaven trying to use earth's currency to buy it. You're going to have a hard time getting the promises of heaven attempting to use earth's way to receive it or achieve it. And many of us are trying to get the promise that God gave us from heaven, but we're trying to earn it through earth. And there is a way for us to bring peace from heaven to our life here on earth, but you're not going to get blessings from heaven earth's ways. See, so if you're trying to get peace the same way the world's trying to get peace, you'll never get God's peace. So if the world thinks that peace is found in a politician, if the world thinks that peace is found in a political group, and if the world thinks that peace is found in more money or a better business or a different marriage or just drinking or a better vacation or a faster car or a bigger TV or some obedient kids or whatever it is that they're looking for, that's what the world's trying to do to get peace. That's not how we're supposed to. We can't get God's promises from heaven using earth's currency. You'd have a hard time going to our cafe and bringing some money from Australia and be like, hey, let me get a tall coffee. Bruce would be like, I don't know what to do with this. What is this? What is Australian currency? Maybe, I don't know. What is Canadian currency? Is it different? It should be, right? Look at me, I'm American. I'm like, they don't use a dollar? So ignorant. What do they use, though? Does anyone know? Canadian dollars. They jacked our word. They can't just come up with a new name? You show up with some pesos or euros and you're like, hey, let me get a drip coffee. You're like, no, we need dollars. We need some of, why? Because you can't get what I'm offering with the wrong currency. And you can't show up to heaven and be like, look at how hard I'm working. Give me that peace. I just crushed two bottles of wine. Hand over that peace. I changed my wife. Hand over that peace. I got a raise. Let me get that peace. I'm at Disney. No, Disneyland chases peace away faster than anyone's ever. If you want to lose your peace, go get in one of them lines. Oh, Jesus. See, you can't do the things that the world thinks bring peace, show up to the gates of heaven and say, Jesus, hook me with that peace. So you got to realize that the peace we're looking for is achieved differently than how they're trying to achieve it. Here, let me set the stage for what this Palm Day looked like. Here, throw up John 12:12 for me, team. So the great multitudes had come to the feast. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Hosanna, Hosanna. Okay, now catch this. In this scene, you got to see Jerusalem, what about a few hundred thousand people living in it. But because of the weekend of the Passover, some historians say over 1 million people crammed into this city. And hundreds of thousands of them are coming out to the streets shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Okay, now Hosanna means savior or save us, or even if you do a deep word, that means save us, please. Y'all, could you imagine a Super Bowl was a parade, but instead of the Seahawks, it's Jesus. And we like, Jesus, save us, please. Please save us. And they're trying to make him king of Israel. Now hold up, they're under Roman rule and there's a Caesar. And they're like, no, we got a king. We have a king. Hey, this is him, save us now. Now go to Luke 19 for me, team. Same story, different gospel, so different part of the story. In the gospel of Luke, he adds this perspective. He goes, but as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead of him, he began to weep. To weep? How I wish today you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Hold up. Y'all, can you see this? So Jesus is coming into the city. They've lined up. He's riding through on a little donkey. Now, this is kind of random because he gets a donkey's foal or a colt, a baby donkey. Jesus went down to the Puyallup Fair, jacked a kid's ride donkey. And he's right. Now listen, when you would ride into a city for triumph and people would shout king, it was always on a war horse. It was the tallest, no other horse was taller than a war horse. They were trained in a way, it's wild. Man, one day I want to teach on this because it is awesome. But I can't right now. But Jesus, not a war horse, not even a horse, not even an adult donkey, a baby donkey. His feet are probably dragging on the side of this donkey. Why? Because Jesus, everything he did, it was so humble. It was so low. It was so meek. He goes, no, I'm not coming on a war horse. I'm not the king you're looking for, and I won't be the king you expect. But catch this, they're all shouting, King, Savior, save us. And he starts to weep. Now, y'all know there's a difference between a tear, a little worship tear. Who in here has been here on a Sunday and Sam and Tosh and the team are just, they're crushing and all of a sudden they're like, oh, it got me. Oh yeah, that is a little, I got to get up there and get myself together. That's not what Jesus is doing. He's, you know, it's the shoulder. Like you're just looking for a breath, like, cause you're weeping from here, from your guts. There's just a weep. Jesus is riding on this baby donkey, getting shouted, getting cheered, and he sees the city, which ironically Jerusalem means the city of peace, and he starts to weep. And he says, if only you had known what would give you peace. Is he still saying that to us today, church? Are we still trying to achieve peace the way they tried to achieve it 2,000 plus years ago? And is Jesus looking at the church today and weeping over his bride because we are still trying to follow the cultures of the world over follow the principles of his kingdom? Too many of us have, I don't want to get in trouble, I don't want to get too political, but we have assimilated too much. That's kind of, you know, everyone's, you need to assimilate. You don't need to, that you need to get in the line, you need to figure out our language, figure out our culture. And now listen, I'm not trying to start a fight on how to build a country and a culture. And honestly, that's above my pay grade. But I think Christians, kingdom people, I think we've assimilated too much. Philippians 3:20 says that you're citizens of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Where's your citizenship? Heaven. Citizen of heaven. That's where I'm from. That's my culture. That's my upbringing. That's where my citizenship sits in heaven. How many of us have assimilated a little too much to our culture? How many of us look a little too much like our neighbor? How many of us act a little bit too much like our coworker? How many of us walk into a hospital, hear a bad report, and act just like everyone else in the hospital? How many of us see the news and freak out like everyone else? How many of us see the economy and get nervous like everyone else? How many of us think that there's real hope in politics still? Now listen, I'm not getting mad because we need some Christians in politics making an example, setting a stage, bringing morality, bringing hope. I'm not mad at that. What I'm saying is I'm not going to put my hopes in an earthly person. I already got a king and he's a little different story because my citizenship's in heaven. And too many of us go, well, they're going to provide for me. They're going to give me my health care. They're going to give me my money back. They're going to give me this, and they're going to kick the right people out and the wrong people, and they're going to do this. And we put so many of our hopes in a politician. Come on, okay. And so many of our hopes in our boss. And so many of our hopes in a Friday night out. And so many of our hopes in an income. And so many hopes in the stock market and in the raise and the bonus. And we act like the world. We've assimilated a little too much. Just when you meet people in our own church, but if you travel, you could see that the cultures are different. You travel around the world and you go, man, they speak a different language. They act different. They talk different. They sound. It's just different. And then you bring all of that into one church here and you start going to different ministry groups and life groups. Like, wow, it's different food here. I've never had food like this. I don't know what you did to the food, but this is delicious. You need to, like, yeah, good luck making that. That's been passed down for 4 or 5 generations. You ain't gonna muck that overnight. And then you talk to them and you see their perspective and you realize just how different they are, and they sound different, they talk different, they're valid. Why? Because they're from a different culture, from a different nation. When someone walks into you, do they go, where are you from? And you go, oh, it's funny you say, I'm from this place called heaven. That's why I'm so gracious. That's why I'm so blessed. That's why sickness doesn't stress me out. That's why my hopes aren't in politics. That's why when the devil comes at me, I rise up. I overcome him. Greater is he who's in me. That's why no weapon formed against me will prosper. That's why when I walk through the valley, God is with me, because I'm from a different nation. See, when you're in a different nation and you run to the U.S., if you're from the U.S. and you're in a nation and you run to the embassy in that nation, that's the U.S. embassy, you're under what? U.S. law. You could be in the middle of their nation, but if you're in that embassy, it's American law, right? If you're a citizen of heaven, everywhere you go, you're under a different law. But too many of us have assimilated a little too much, and we have stopped acting like where we're from and who we are. I'm from heaven. Jesus says, thy kingdom come, his will be done. See, many of us say that, but what we want is my will to be done. I want my kingdom to come. I want my will to be done on my life and in your life. I want you, this is Caleb's lane. Get out of the way, please. You know what I'm talking about? You know when someone merges as if like, I own this. I paid for the whole road. This is my road. And then when you stand in line and there's a line, you're like, I want to just tell this person how to do their job because this is my kingdom. This is my world. This is my world. Like, get out of my way. You're messing my schedule up. And then when the boss asks you to come in for extra overtime, you're like, no, I want it my way. This is my kingdom. I want my way. See, we keep forgetting that it's his kingdom come. I'm a citizen of his kingdom. And once I realize who I am and where I'm from, I can start accessing what he has for me, which is peace that this world can't offer me. When you realize, church, where you're from and who you are, and when you get the blinders off of your eyes, which attempts to make you live in this world and its limitations, then you'll start to walk in peace. Because when you walk in the hospital and they give you a bad report, you go, no, but I'm from heaven. And so because I am a citizen of heaven, my king sits above sickness. Sickness already bowed its knee to my king. So I have access to healing that you might not have access to because I'm not gonna lose my mind or lose my cool because I am submitted to the king that brings healing. And when the economy goes, no, I serve a different king. I'm from a different place. I'm not gonna lose my mind. I'm not gonna freak out. I'm not gonna walk in fear. Why does the world want you to walk in so much fear? Because it's its currency. It wants you to do everything you do with fear. Exchanging every, I'm afraid. So I'll vote for that person because of my fear. And I need to stockpile because of my fear. And I talk to people badly because of my fear and because of my everything is fear-based. And Jesus is like, no, you need to remember that you're from the kingdom and our currency is faith-based. And so when you start walking in faith, not in fear, all of a sudden I have peace on the inside of me that the world can't take from me because it never gave it to me, so it can't take it from me. And so my peace goes before me. And even though my kid is sick, I walk in peace because my Savior overcomes sickness. And I show up to work, not because I'm working for the man, but because I work for God. I show up with a different level of peace, even when the economy's down, even when I'm going through struggle, even when I'm going through strife, even when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, because God is with me, so his peace is with me, and it has nothing to do with what's around me. Your peace is not the byproduct of comforts. Your peace is the byproduct of who's with you. Is God with you? Are you a son of God and a daughter of God? Because if you are, then you can walk in peace. You know, I love our military. They're strong, and I love hearing the stories of like the elite groups. Y'all just start to geek out on that. You're like, man, if you are in military or a military family, I want to honor y'all today. Man, we are so grateful for you guys and your service and sacrifice. My brother's not watching me, but Micah, crushing it. He doesn't watch me preach, but if he did, you know, give a little shout out to him. He's like, why would I listen to my little brother preach? He's like, I listened to you my whole life. I'm done listening to you. But I love hearing the stories of what they go through. But y'all never seen a documentary or a movie where they were developing strong soldiers with comforts. I've never seen it. Like the documentary was like, I got my sleep number, Tempur-Pedic bed. I got a masseuse. I got all this great. No, they're eating like food out of bags. And they got like mattresses that are harder than the floor half the time, if they even get a mattress. Man, they go through some hard stuff. But why? Because they're being equipped, right, trained, prepared. Just recently, I was sitting at the table with my kids. We were doing homework. You know, no one likes to do homework. You know what I'm talking about? Not even parents. I don't like to do homework. So I'm like, let's just AI that and get over it. I'm just kidding. Take a photo. There we go. There's the answers. And we were sitting there. We were working through it. Some of you were like, that's a great idea. Why have I not done that? What are we doing, guys? I'm gonna AI this math and move on. And I sat with him. We worked through it. Dad didn't take the problem. Dad didn't say, you know what? I'll do it. It'll be faster that way. It'll be easier that way. Just go play. I'll figure this out and then we'll turn it in. Dad didn't call the teacher and say, this is unfair. I'm the king. You submit. This is my rule. No. What did I do? I sat with the kid. We worked through it. We solved it so that they were equipped so that when the test came, their peace remained. Y'all catching this? See, they were ready. The problems weren't resolved the way they wanted them to be resolved in the moment. They had to struggle. They had to work. They had to overcome. They had to grow. They were stretched. But when the test showed up, they were ready and their peace did not run because the test revealed what was in them was bigger than the struggles approaching them. It's like a soldier. They don't lose their peace when they enter into battlefield. When they're sent out, we realize that, man, these guys are so equipped, are so strong, there is a level of peace on the inside of them that they could handle chaos and never lose their cool. Why? Because the peace on the inside of them is bigger than the battle ahead of them. My kids were so prepared, when the test showed up, they didn't freak out. There is story after story after story in the Bible that says that David was ready. He saw something different. So when Goliath showed up, he was like, I got this guy. See, so when the test came, there was something in David that said, I can handle this. There was a fire that was turned up, but three Israel boys said, we will not bow, we will not serve, we will not worship your culture or your king. We don't care what you say to us, we will not bow to your ways because we got something on the inside of us that's bigger than the problem ahead of us. There was a prophet that said, I will not stop praying to my God no matter what you say. Throw me in the lines, I don't care. See, he had something in him that was bigger than the struggle ahead of him. Too many of us have been wanting God to solve our problems. The problem with that is, what's the problems you'll solve for God when you're a punk? What could you do for God if he's always taken your struggles away? Yo, if I do all of the homework for Levi, he's six, he's never gonna move out. Like, I love this little man, but at some point he has to leave, right? Just gonna be stuck with that kid living in the basement my whole life. Y'all, how many basement Christians do we have today? You still live at home. Like, you still liking God to make you a bottle. Just spoon feed me, solve all my problems, and give me a lazy boy. And he's like, where's my warriors? Where's my men and women of faith? Where's my Davids that say, give me this giant? Where's the Caleb that say, give me my promised land? Where are they? Where's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that says, I will walk into that fire and not walk out burned. I'm gonna come out not even smelling like smoke because the faith inside of me is so much bigger than the fire ahead of me. See, that's the peace that we need. I'm not looking for a God to give me a life with no problems. I'm looking for my God to give me enough strength to handle anything that comes my way. Give me a giant and see what happens. Bring on the fire. Let me be a light to a world. It's dark and it needs some Christians. There was some hope and some peace. And so it needs you to be the light. If you look like the world, what do you have to offer it? If you're chasing what the world's chasing, what are you gonna offer? If you're chasing the same money and the same politics and the same hopes and the same answers, how will you ever be a light to a dark world if you look just like it? I'm not really sure you're a light anymore. Maybe you're the darkness. Remember Jesus, if you think your light is light, but it's actually darkness, how dark is it? See, Jesus is not trying to solve your problems. The end of this road isn't a lazy boy. It's a sword. Jesus is looking for someone that's got the faith and the courage to step up and say, give me this mountain, bring on this giant. Let me be a light in a dark world. Let me show off what true peace looks like. Let me show off what true grace looks like. Let me be a Christian that walks in faith. I need faith to overcome some stuff. I don't need faith in a lazy boy. I don't need faith in a basement. I don't need faith when no one's watching. I need faith when God's called me to a mission that only I'm ready to take on. I need faith when I walk into that hospital, we're fighting cancer. I need faith when I'm trying to reach a city. I need faith when I want God to use me. I want faith in my life. I don't need faith if I'm in the basement. I don't need faith if I ain't got no struggles or no problems. I don't need faith if God's not using me. But if he's using me, the peace in me must be bigger than the problems ahead of me. Jesus weeps. Weeps for the city. He says, oh, if only you would know. If only you knew the way to peace. It's not through trying to make me your king. King of Israel. Nope, wrong. That's not the peace. Also, you could say whatever you want, but you've never and will never King Jesus. He already is king, whether you call him it or not. There's a story in the Old Testament. Why don't, how much time I got? Why don't the worship team come? Let's just do that. There's a story in the Old Testament of Esau and Jacob. All throughout the Bible, God's called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was a twin. Him and Esau were brothers of Isaac. They struggled their whole life against each other. And there was a time where Esau was out hunting, trying to get game, trying to make food, and he was starving. He said he felt like he was starving to death, and he saw his brother who had just made some vegetable soup. And he says, give me some soup before I die. And his brother said, trade me your birthright. Y'all read the story? Have y'all read the Old Testament? Trade me your birthright. Give me your birthright and I'll give you some soup. How many of us have traded our birthright for comfort? I need something now and I'll trade my sonship. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm an overcomer. I was raised to walk in faith. I'm a mountain taker. And you said, no, I'll trade all of that for just some comfort now. Just give me comforts now. Just give me a little soup now. I will trade my birthright for some soup. So you're a son and a daughter of God. And the devil has convinced so many of us to trade in that card and pursue the comforts of this world. But we weren't made for the comforts of this world. We were made to bring the kingdom to it. Walk in your sonship. Walk in your sonship. So that you can bring the peace that everyone else is looking for. And you can bring the hope that everyone else is looking for. And you can bring life that everyone else is seeking. And you can be a light in a dark world. In Romans 5:1, I want to show us just that, before we close today, the way of peace Jesus is talking about. He was broken to a point of weeping that they didn't realize what it was that would have given them peace. Well, here it is right here in Romans 5:1-2 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Catch this. Justified by faith, my belief in Jesus, my trust in Jesus. Because I believe in Jesus, I have peace with God. Through him, we've obtained access by faith again into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By faith, I have peace with God and access to grace. Peace with God and access to grace. This is the good news that Jesus came to share. They kept trying to make him an earthly king, and he kept trying to show them that it was bigger than that. We are trying to make Jesus too small of a king. If he came to earth and died on a cross to solve just your uncomforts, you're attempting to minimize our Savior. See, Jesus wants you to live a great life, but more than that, he wants you to live as a son and a daughter, to walk in your rightful place, to walk out in this dark world as a light, to walk in peace above what the world offers, to bring hope. He wants you to live a life that's so impactful that it impacts the generations to come from you. He's not trying to make your Friday night great. He's trying to make your great-grandchildren great. That's the size of our King, that he can see 5 and 6 generations ahead of you. And he goes, let me make sure that they're walking the life that I've called them to. So I need you to be great. I need you to own your sonship. I need you to be a daughter of mine. And I need you to stop chasing the comforts of this world and start reaching people for me and serving people for me. And I need you to pick up your cross. I need you to be a light in a dark world. I need you to see from the lens of heaven. I need you to live a life as if eternity actually matters. And if heaven and hell are real, get out of your lazy boy and save souls for the kingdom and walk in peace as you do it. There is a peace that passes understanding. You can walk in peace that doesn't even make sense. How are you so peaceful, bro? Do you see what's going on? I don't know. God's with me. God is with me. But don't you know, I'm trusting God. I'm from heaven. A little crazy over there. We just don't give that much weight to the things of earth. That verse goes on to say, once you've had peace with God, now hold up. If I gave you everything in the world, but I kept peace from God, would you really have anything? If you had everything this world had to offer, but you didn't have peace with God, would anyone be grateful that you were here? Would your life matter? Would your life actually be a success? If when you died, you went to hell and left everything here, you had billions here, but nothing there, what's the point? See, Jesus says, I bring good news. If he had good news, then there must have been bad news. The bad news was you didn't have peace with God until Jesus showed up. And now that he showed up, he goes, listen, I'm not the king of Israel. I'm the king of this planet. And I brought restoration to a broken world. I brought hope to the hopeless. I brought the relationship that you had lost. You are now connected to God. You have eternity with God. It's a lot bigger than what you're trying to do. You're trying to make an earthly king to get out of the tyranny of Rome. I'm doing a lot more than that. I am reconnecting this world to its creator, to its source, to its God. God in heaven wants to know your name. And your focus on me being the king of Israel? No, it's bigger than that. And it still is. Does God want you to be blessed? Yes. But don't make your whole life about him solving your nuances. Make your life about solving his. When you start to solve his problems, when you start to reach the people he's desperate to reach, when you start to be the light that he's desperate for the world to see, when you start showing off his peace and his joy and his healing and his abundance, when you start showing him off, all of a sudden you end up accidentally getting everything you were looking for from the beginning. You can't get peace from heaven trying to buy it with the currency of this world. That verse goes on to say that you have peace with God through Jesus, and because of Jesus and your faith in Jesus, you have access to grace. See, justice is you getting what you deserve. Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. And grace is you getting what you don't deserve. Jesus is saying, because I came, I gave you what you didn't deserve. I gave you access back to God. I give you access to life in abundance. I give you access to health and healing and joy beyond your understanding and your imagination. I give you access to grace to take your life beyond your wildest dreams, but you gotta live according to my kingdom to walk in my grace. He's got more for you, but we've got to unassimilate from the culture around us and become citizens of heaven here in this world.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.